Hallelujah.
If you hadn't seen the sanctuary this week, all the chairs were out. It was super fun in here. The kids were worshiping and jumping and music was going on and they were having fun and they were learning about God. And it made me happy because when we made the choice to go to pews, I know that some people are like, what are you doing to God's house? That's exactly why we did what we did. Because we want to be able to do different things. I want kids to be able to see that this can be God's temple, God's holy place, and it can also be a place where you can come in and not be intimidated. And so I'm so thankful for everyone who helped with that, everyone who was here. Obviously, I was not because I was at camp meeting, but it went great. It was so cool, and I don't know if you saw the pictures, but on the last night, Men Are Fire Department comes up, and they're spraying the kids with a hose, and the kids are running through that. And there was grass on the carpet. There were some dirty spots, and that's okay. And this morning, it's all put back. Another thing before I speak, I was thinking about, yeah, you can put that slide up. This week was the anniversary of D-Day, and right there. I cannot even comprehend the courage or bravery that took. I cannot. And the older I get, the more appreciative I am of the fact that I cannot do what I do unless the brave men and women who serve do what they do. So if you're one of those, thanks. Putting a face to a name. There's a scripture, and I'm going to use a few familiar ones because sometimes I think we need to pull those out, and I think we need to look at them the way that maybe we haven't looked at them before. Ephesians 6, 12 to 13 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." When I am about myself, I am programmed to put a face to every disappointment that I encounter. I'm not speaking at you, obviously. I'm speaking about myself. But if it applies to you, great. The devil is a master of deception. He's all about, look over here. Check this out. Look at the birdie. They literally have a birdie when Sears had their photography studio, and when little kids wouldn't obey, they would wave the bird. And the idea with that, obviously, is look over here, but it's all about getting the picture. It wasn't you're paying to take your kid to see a stuffed bird. It was you were taking your kid to get a picture. And so the enemy deals in this deception in a way like, keep your eyes over here. Keep your eyes over here. He wants to make you think that this is where you need to be looking, but he's attacking from over here. That's how it works spiritually. And here, in World War II, the Brits were famous for something, and they would paint a face on the plane. Now, Americans, because of regulations and stuff like that, they didn't get into it as much, but the British really did this. And they called this nose art. And the truth about this is that the face on the plane did not make the attack any more powerful. It didn't give the plane any more horsepower. It didn't make the bullets fly faster. It merely gave the pilot or the attacker a psychological advantage. See, the face not making the attack any more powerful is kind of what I need to get across today. Nose art was done by civilian artists. In other words, the attacker did not have the creativity within himself to put the face on the plane. And so he would kind of look for others to put a face on it. And the devil, in so many ways, is looking to put a face on so many hurts that you experience because that's the art of distraction. Satan's been working overtime in that. And so what I want to ask you is this about our walk or is it about our distraction? Ephesians 2:2 calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Now that, my friend, is spiritual wickedness in high places. The prince of the power of the air. Now, you may be thinking this. When I get attacked, I am only one person. So when the devil singles me out, I am only one person. And he may get you good. I don't know if you've ever gotten into what we would call a scrap. But there are such things as kidney hits. And they will bring a person around really quickly. If it happens to you, like, whoa, this is serious. The devil swings like that. And we may have some slide issues. If we do, we do. The slide that was going to go up was an anti-aircraft gun. And a soldier on the ground. And he's got this anti-aircraft gun. And you may think, it's just me. No, that's a different one. Go back. That's an air raid siren. I probably put that one in the wrong place. You can come. No, not that one. Next one. So with this, I don't know where it went. What difference does it make, you might think? And here's the deal. The true deal, there were tracers that they used and their aiming devices. And so many shots, they put a tracer in. And you would see this glowing tracer. And they did it in a way that it would draw a line. And so when things were dark, you could see where your attack was going. What if someone here needs to see your attack going up? What if someone here knows that you're going through a hard time and they are watching thinking, I respect them so much. What are they going to do when they're pushed? What are they going to do when the devil corners them? They're not doing it in a critical way. They're doing it because we are a body and we grow together. We are a body and I'm inspired by you as much as you may be inspired by someone else in this house. That slide with all the lines. Imagine if when we were being attacked, we were sending it up. Imagine if all at once we began sending it up. Sending what up? How about sending praise up? The least likely thing that the devil would expect out of you when you're being attacked is praise. Because it makes the least sense, naturally, to begin to be thankful when your mind is saying run, when your heart is saying hopeless, but you throw up praise. When you begin to, what if we all just started doing that? Not just because it's for me, but because it's for we. Because I'll tell you what, if I was a pilot, I would not fly through that. If I was attacking and I saw that coming, I would steer clear and I would think, no, somebody else, have at it, somebody. Spiritually, what I send up can bring down the attack. Imagine the synergy of believers walking in that praise, an us thing, a we thing, a me and God thing, a me and you and God thing, a you and everybody else and God thing. Imagine that. Someone needs to see that praise during that storm. We use these terms like sacrifice of praise. It says that in Hebrews 13:5. But are we doing that? Do we tend to lean into ourselves when we get attacked and tend to think that our theology can take a detour because it hurts really bad, whatever it may be? When an attack was imminent, the air raid sirens would sound. That was that one slide. When the air raid sirens would go off, they had a choice. You have a choice. What do I mean by that? There are some situations that you will enter and you just feel the evil in it. You ever done that? Like you walk into a room and you're just like, ooh. I mean, I probably do that. I hit my pinky toe on a chair the other day and Kimberly was laughing at me because I was like, aye. But it was really the sound I made. I don't know what happened. There will be situations you walk into that the darkness is there, and that's the air raid siren for a Christian. You have those two choices, and the devil will say to you, you feel that? That familiar feeling? You're playing defense. You're playing defense. Those feelings, when it happens, your choices are to fight or to flee in a spiritual sense. It's either to begin to throw that attack up or to cower. And I'm telling you what, in a situation when the enemy attacks, when you cower, the best that you can do is hope to not have something fall on your head. I say that in terms that you need to understand, because a passive Christian walk is simply hoping that something doesn't fall on your head. My faith declaration before you right now is I'm no longer going to shelter in place hoping not to get hit. I want to go on the offensive for the things that matter. The hurts that have been caused in some of your lives by some of those closest to you, those are the things that matter. There was a statement that was made this week at camp meeting that the devil does not attack where there are no spoils. He is not stupid, and where he is hitting, there is value. And the statements we make, the things that we accept, God has given us the power to say enough, enough, enough right now. I can't say what happened 2 weeks ago, what happened right now. The change begins to happen. I'm going to begin to send that attack up, that praise into the atmosphere. Oh, it may be dark, but when I send that up, there are things going on in the heavenlies. There are things going on up there that I might not be able to see, but someone can see the tracer going up. Someone can see what I'm doing. See, because I know that that attack, it's not that person coming against me. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's facade. It is facade. It's time that we begin to loose some things here. Begin to loose some things. Begin to loose some things up in the heavens and see what happens. To begin to hold our God to the standard that he tells us to hold him to. To begin to pray those prayers that aren't just these small prayers, but to begin to dream audaciously, to speak audaciously of the things that God will do. When we hear a problem, that we begin to not just look for a solution to the problem, but we look for the best possible solution. We look for things that are way out here. The devil's scripted line when he says you're playing defense is, where is your God now? Have you ever felt that in your heart? You know, we don't speak those things because it's church. But when the devil's just gotten you good and that little voice in the back of your mind is like, where is God now? The tide turns when defense turns to offense. In the story of David and Goliath, from Goliath's vantage point, the whole story changed when David started running toward him. The entire story changed. It went from talking smack to laying on his face. Mike Tyson has a quote. Mike Tyson's quote is, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Sounds good. See, the devil sees himself as an apex predator. What that is the top of the food chain. An apex predator does not need to change their tactics because who's gonna mess with them? They don't have to. That's where he wants to position himself in my mind. He wants me to think, don't mess here. Don't mess with me. A fundamental question is, how do you see your God? Do you see your God as a coach of a bunch of antelope that God's like, hope you don't get eaten up, little guy. Run. Or do you see your God as the lion of the tribe of Judah? Do you see him as unrelenting? Do you see him as fearless? Do you see him as going after things as if he is the king? And by a spirit of adoption, if he's a lion, I'm a lion. Now, I'm not talking like Simba. Should have had Kevin hold me up in the air when I said that, like Pride Rock. My God does not relent. He does not fear. He does not back down. The truth is that the devil is an opportunist. An opportunist. Bring that one up. Almost like a stray cat named Kiki that comes and lives on your porch. That's for Kim Zinni. He will only feed. The devil will only feed on what I leave out for him. And when I say leave out, I mean outside of the will of God. If I keep leaving things out for him, he's going to keep coming back. Do you want to know when lions get into trouble? A lion gets into trouble when a lion has gotten fed, gotten a kill, and a lion eats their share, and then a lion leaves that share out. Because then the opportunists come along. A smart lion will understand that there will be lean times and that lion may need those leftovers later for either himself or others in the pride. My God is a God of order. My God is not a God of waste. He knows very well that the things and the blessings that he gives to me may not be only for me. He knows that the fights that he puts me in are not simply for me to get a trophy. He knows that others are watching. He knows in this house that if you commit to be a part of this body, that others are watching. There will be dry places. There will be lean season. But will I be a good steward of the blessings that he has given me? Will I be able to say I'm overflowing for a reason? Will I be able to say I may not be overflowing, but I can still give? I'm not talking monetarily. I'm talking the things in your heart that you know God has gifted you with to lay out there. If you keep leaving the leftovers laying around, that stray cat, that old devil is going to take notice. Action changes the heart of the fighter. That defense turning to offense, you know what I think of? I think of when we would play paintball and when you would turn into the driveway of Pinnacle Woods, my stomach would get sick because I was going to get hurt. And I wasn't hurt in a car. And so, you know, like we're putting on camouflage and stuff and we're going. And like you would start the game and you're thinking, I'm going to get hit. And you know what? You got hit. And you know what? It hurt. Nothing was more motivating than to not get hit by a paintball than getting hit by a paintball. And nothing motivated you to want to hit other people more than when you got hit with a paintball, because you're like, oh, run. Getting hit can hurt a lot, but I'm still standing, and now I'm starting to get angry in the spirit. Oh, devil, you're going to hit? Well, now it's getting personal. Devil, you're going to hit, and you know how it feels when it's us. Sometimes we think, oh, we can take a lot. But when it's our friends, we're like, no, devil, you're not going there. You're not going there. Well, I'm going to make a statement. You may or may not agree. You are not a fighter. Oh, what? Stop. Let me go on. At best, a fighter wins a fight. God has called you to be a warrior. Warriors win wars. It is time in our minds to begin to understand this anointing that is on us is a we thing. It is a we thing. You were never called to be Satan's punching bag. You weren't delivered from that old life to be the fall guy in a fixed fight. You walk in the power of we. I am and me. I am and you. You walk in that. Walk boldly, walk with confidence. Be the person that God created you to be. Spoiler alert, the attacks are coming. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Kim shared something with me. Every once in a while she'll send me something, and this thing, it's really been on my heart. And here's the gist of what she sent me. It was a devotion that someone that we know had written. And the gist is, if you are used to the devil attacking you 10 times a day, and then the devil only comes at you 7 times a day, you tend to think that you're on some type of spiritual vacation. Almost like our prayer going up is, Lord, thank you for allowing the torment to be less intense. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe it's the devil that's behind 3 less attacks than a watered-down version of God? What am I saying? Maybe instead of seeing it as 10 attacks going down to 7, the devil wants to get you accustomed to 7 attacks and 3 lies. 7 attacks and 3 false senses of security. 7 attacks and 3 less reasons to lean on Jesus. Maybe the devil's goal is for you to begin to define your faith by his mercy more than God's power. When this becomes our mindset, we forget that Satan's a liar, that he can't speak the truth. You ever see Jim Carrey's movie Liar, Liar, when he was made to tell the truth and like he couldn't, like he would say the meanest things because he was just thinking it, but he had to tell the truth? That's how the devil is, but the opposite. He just lies. Everything that comes out of his mouth, when you allow him to control the dialogue and the talk points, he'll take more. He'll begin to hum the soundtrack to you. He'll begin to determine how many sequels there will be. If you believe the father of lies, then the outcomes you're going to see will be lies. When the devil owns the offense and writes the storyline, he will tell you God is against you. The people closest to you are against you. Every attack will seem like a confirmation of something that you think is going to happen, the bad. Spoiler alert, the attacks are coming at times. The devil's like my kids. He doesn't sleep. Jesus said this, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you might have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Not trouble, not a rough day, but flat out tribulation. God is begging, let me train you. Let me equip you. Don't just let me train you and equip you, but let me be there in your corner. See it for what it is. This walk is a war. Ephesians said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not like wrestling, like rowdy roddy. It's not a game. All I think of is Violet when I think of that, when the kids were in the class. And, you know, boys, they'll rough around sometimes. And if you don't know Violet, you got to get to know her. But Violet, she'd look at him, she'd be like, y'all quit that horseplay. I mean, just like that. And, like, I was like, okay. It is not horseplay. It is wrestling. The last time that I spoke, I was talking about the night that Jacob became Israel and the way that he was wrestling with that angel all night long. There's a line in a U2 song that I love, and it says, I'm going to kick the darkness till it bleeds daylight. And here's the truth when it comes to that. When Jacob wrestled that angel, there was a point where it turned. And he wasn't just wrestling for his life. He was wrestling for the blessing. Are you fighting for your life, or are you fighting for the blessing? My faith needs a perspective check at times, and I need to understand which side of the spiritual food pyramid I'm really on. The enemy's dialogue is this. He says to you, I'm going to set up strongholds, which may or may not contain your kryptonite. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Here's the truth. Strongholds are typically bombed. That's how they get them out of there. Just like my praise going up stops those attacks, that prince of the power of the air, there are some things that I need to pray and pray specifically about, that I need to pray without ceasing, that I need to pray and see the outcome on the other side. It's almost like this idea, like this Moab. You ever see this when they use that? Do I have that slide in there, I hope? It is this bomb, and they call it the mother of all bombs. And it's this laser-guided 21,000-pound thing that does like a mile's worth of damage, the radius of it. Spiritually, I need to begin to tap into that kind of power. I need to understand that God has unleashed an arsenal to take out the enemy, not just to push the enemy back, to demoralize the enemy, to maybe the enemy win this one and I'll take this one so it's in balance. God has called me to make surgical strikes, and I don't know if you've ever seen with some of these bombs that they send. There was one, and they sent it right down the chimney of an enemy stronghold. That bold. And you know when the person sent it down there, they're like, y'all see that? You know that. There are times in your walk you need to walk with that confidence that I'm not just going to aim in that direction, but I'm going to take it out. Be bold enough to identify the sources of the attack as hell itself. Hell itself. But I've never been so wounded, but I want to strike out at that person. See, understand that if our fight is not against one another, then the weapons that God has given us are things that were never intended to hurt one another. Matthew 5:44 says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We need to begin praying, and we need to begin old school praying. And I'm talking that kind of prayer that's undignified kind of praying. We need to get to a place where people ask me, they say, what's your vision for the future of CLC? My vision for the future of CLC is to see the Holy Spirit unleashed in a way that it is the difference maker. Because I'm telling you what? There are churches in every theater, school, coffee shop, and everything else in this area, but the power of the living God through the person of the Holy Spirit is the difference maker. We need to begin to speak life over our children, to pray him off. We need to begin to pray life over our spouse, over our marriage, over our workplace, over that family member, over whatever thing that it may be. And I told you before, there are things I do not feel that my God shudders when he hears the word cancer. I do not think that my God has to go to plan B when he hears these words that the world is throwing at us. It's time for us to put away two thoughts when it comes to this fasting and prayer and spiritual warfare. Like it's only for the super spiritual or only religious people do that. It is your lifeline. It is your lifeline. It is not something that happened years ago, but I'm telling you what. Just like you have that ooh feeling, there are times when you're in here and you have that feeling when you know God's present. Like he just walked past you. Like he's beside you, like he's around. Do not be scared of the things that God is going to do. There's so much more going on than we're aware of. I know the enemy studies me trying to plan his attack. He's drawn up his best plans. But see, he's not attacking me. He's attacking a we. Says in Romans 8:38, I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So wait, if I'm in Christ Jesus, it's a we thing. So when the devil throws his attack, it's a we thing. This right here. When it comes to intercession, there is no door that is permanently closed when it comes to intercession. Meaning this, there may be some people that leave your life. You can intercede. There may be some people that you may not be their solution. But you can be holding them up in prayer. You can be their encourager. You can be speaking life in those things. There may be some things in your life that you're like, oh, that's the stronghold. See, the devil's setting those things up, those strongholds. And he's like, your kryptonite's behind this over here. And you're just like, I won't go there. And he's like, well, there's also kryptonite over here. Well, I won't go there. And your walk is more of a dance than it is a walk. And it's not determined by faith. It's determined by distraction. And walking in those things, you need to understand those strongholds don't define you. Whatever's behind door number three doesn't define you. Those experiences that foster doubt in your life, those don't define you. The enemy's going to say to you, look how you've been taken advantage of. Look how that person made you feel. The enemy's going to say, dwell on that. Dwell on it. Let it create distance with others and with God. Let your heart get hard. That's what he wants. The words that were spoken against you, the pain that was tailor-made to push you into the fetal position. Romans 8:1 says this, There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, I speak right now against the condemnation that's been spoken over some of you. I speak against the things that when someone's been desperate and they've thrown out whatever they need to say to bring you to a place of misery where they might be, you're released from that. Whatever you've been dwelling on and whatever you think the reality is because someone else has begun to define it, no, God says that's not how it ever was. I'm going to close it up with this. There is a measure of faith in you that you have yet to access. There is a reserve that has been waiting for this moment of the fight. Is it about survival or is it about blessing? There is a verse that says this. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. God is saying this to you. I've got this. In Isaiah 45, he says, I'm going to go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'm going to break in pieces the gates of brass. I'm going to cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call you by your name, am the God of Israel. My God doesn't deny that there's a fight. But my God says, what's in that stronghold? We will go forward together. We've been told before through Exodus that the Lord will fight for you. You only need to stand still. Been told in 1 Samuel to stand still and see the glory of the Lord. Part of us has just thought that means stay. Stay still. But understand that God wants you to show up to the battlefield. God wants you to go. God wants you to be ready for whatever may come. And then he will do those things. See, he didn't say to David, go back home and I'll defeat Goliath. He told David, check out the armor, check out. I mean, David had it all. He was no dummy. Go get you some rocks. I'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You mean guns, cannons, chariots? Come on, man, come on. Stop standing still because you're scared. Stop standing still because you're scared God will not be in the fight with you. It's time to move. It's time to move in faith because revival is in the hands of the believer. The things that we cry out for, that we say we want in our families, in our homes, in our church, it's in our hands to go after. God's hand's not shortened. God says revival is for you. Revival's for them. Revival's for us. And the last thing is this. When it comes to life, when it comes to that praise, speak life. Speak life. If you're mad, scream life. If you can't get the words out, whisper life. But most importantly, believe life. I wanted to pray this morning, blessing over you. They'll be playing. If there's a fight, you're like, yeah, I heard what you just said, and that was all good. But, and you want to pray? We'll pray with you. No problem. After we pray, you know how it kind of goes down. The worship team will play. We will have a time of prayer. If you need to leave, I get it. If you wish to pray with someone, sweet. But please don't stay in here and get loud if people are praying. That's the one thing that I ask. I thank you for being with us today. And before I pray, you are family to us. I'm so excited, and people ask me, how do you feel about the future? You know what my words are? Good, scared. I feel good, scared. Because great things are going to happen, and I just don't know what all those great things are because God is doing something. So if you'll bow your heads, I will pray. And then if you wish for prayer, come on up. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this house of your people. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this we thing that is going on. And Lord, I pray right now, whatever distractions the devil's used, whatever faces he's put to the hurt, God, that you would allow your people to rise up. Let us see it for what it is, and let us speak in boldness to those things that you are doing, that you are going to do, God. The plans that you had drawn out from before I was born, Lord, you've got it under control. I speak your hand of protection over these people, and I speak a boldness over us that is beyond the boldness we've known before. The spirit of a lion. In your name I speak these things. Amen.